Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dharani Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Randana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Randana Yamuna Tiravana Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Randana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Randana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopijana Vallabha Girivada Dhari Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Sriva Jagacharya Ashtotra Satyashishi Maharaj's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Ananta Goda Vaishnavinda Ki
Jai
Iskan Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai
Gaur Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga Nama Om Vishnu Bharaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutam Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Saraswati Devi Guru Acharya Nirvishesha Sundarvari Paschacharya Sthaya. So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavata, first canto, chapter number 9, the Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. Is the text 30?
29.
I thought you were going to read it.
I'm going to read it?
Yeah. Get the microphone.
Dhanam pravadatastasya Sakala pratyupasthita Yo yoginas chanda mrityor Vanchitas tuttarayana Dharmam pravadatastasya Sakala pratyupasthita Yo yoginas chanda mrityor. Vanchitas tuttarayana. Please chant.
Occupational duties, Pavadatta, while describing Tasya, his, Sa, that, Kala, time, Pratyupasthita, exactly appeared, Ya, that is, Yogina, for the mystics, Chandamurtayu, Chandamurtyu, the one who dies according to one's own selection of time. Vanchita is described by two but Uttarayana, Uttaraya, the period when the sun runs on the northern horizon. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. While Bhishma Dev was describing occupational duties, the sun's course ran into the northern hemisphere. This period is desired by mystics who die at their will. Purport. The perfect yogis or mystics can leave the material body at their own sweet will at a suitable time and go to a suitable planet desired by them. In the Bhagavad Gita 8:24, it is said that self-realized souls who have exactly identified themselves with the interest of the Supreme Lord can generally leave the material body during the time of the fire god's effulgence and when the sun is in the northern horizon and thus achieve the transcendental sky. In the Vedas, these times are considered auspicious for quitting the body, and they are taken advantage of by expert mystics who have perfected the system. Perfection of yoga means attainment of such supermental states as to be able to leave the material body as desired. Yogis can also reach any planet within no time without a material vehicle. The yogis can reach the highest planetary system within a very short time, and this is impossible for the materialist. Even attempting to reach the highest planet will take millions of years at a speed of millions of miles per hour. This is a different science, and Bhishma Dev knew well how to utilize it. He was just waiting for the suitable moment to quit his material body, And the golden opportunity arrived when he was instructing his noble grandsons, the Pandavas. Thus he prepared himself to quit his body before the exalted Lord Sri Krishna. The pious Pandavas and the great sages headed by Bhagavan Vyasa, etc., all great souls. Om Agyanate Manandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Everything about the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dramatic. I mean, just picture this scene here that's been building for Bhishma Dev's long lifetime. When he was a young man, he took the vow, a horrible vow, terrible vow. That's why he got the name Bhishma. Terrible vow he took to not wed and beget children so his father could marry Satyavati. Yeah. His father could marry Satyavati. Such a vow led to so many circumstances over the years of difficulty, but he stuck to his vow. And now, after all that history has taken place, he is exercising his will to leave his body according to his own choosing. I mean, that in itself, despite all the drama and history that had taken place, is a tremendous feat. And when we compare it to this material world and people trying to control things, no one wants to die. And everyone wants to be able to, if they accept that they do have to die, they want to be able to control the circumstances. Srila Prabhupada told a story of one friend, I guess he was a friend, or some kind of acquaintance, when he was in Allahabad. Prabhupada was in Allahabad for a while. He had a pharmacy there. And one gentleman he knew was dying. And he didn't want to die. And so he begged the doctor, Prabhupada tells the story, he begged the doctor, please give me 5 more years so that I may complete my plans. So no materialist is ready to die, but they want as much time as possible to complete their plans. Prabhupada was pointing out how foolish this is. But there is a different science, he says in a purport here. This is a different science, and Bhishma Dev knew well how to utilize it. So there is a different science that gives one the opportunity to actually choose when he quits this body and why he would choose that moment. It's a different science. It exists. What people are looking for actually exists in a Vedic way of life, but they're so bewildered that they don't see it. So Bhishma Dev took advantage of the time to quit his body. An auspicious time. Prabhupada terms it a golden opportunity arrived when he was. So it was a golden opportunity in many ways. He finished his instruction to the Pandavas. He met all his obligations in life. And most importantly, Lord Sri Krishna was sitting in front of him, taking advantage of that all those auspicious elements. Bhishma Dev decided, and very dramatically so, that this is the moment to leave when the sun entered its journey on the northern horizon. we should all be so fortunate to be able to utilize our lives in such a way that we have this opportunity at the time of death. Of course, we're not great mystic yogis. I should speak for myself, for the most part, fallen souls. But we've been given such a wonderful opportunity by taking shelter of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And we see that even if we're fallen, we're somehow or another given hope when we see the history of our God brothers. Srila Prabhupada, one of his early disciples, was Sudama. He took sannyas for a while, Sudama. But then when Prabhupada left, separation, I guess, was too much for him, and so he also gave up strict practice of Krishna consciousness as taught by Srila Prabhupada. But earlier, he had rendered service to Prabhupada in such a great way. He went to Japan and opened a temple in Japan. And Prabhupada told him when he was sending him to Japan that if you do this, I guarantee you you'll go back home, back to Godhead. Or something similar to that. He told him. And so many years passed, just like so many years here have passed with Bhishma Dev since he made his terrible vow. So many years passed since Prabhupada gave that instruction to Sudama. So many years passed that Sudama did that, but then fell away. But as he was ending his life, as he became aware that this body will be finished soon, he came back to Prabhupada and devotional service. Actually, we were living in Los Angeles at that time. And he came back to Los Angeles. The devotees, out of sentiment for a senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, gave him facility. They set aside one apartment where he could stay. And around the clock, devotees were there chanting for him. And when he left his body, he was surrounded by the chanting of Hare Krishna. There's no more auspicious way than that to leave this world. And so he was able to take advantage of what materialists find to be impossible. They can't control their circumstances of death, nor their destination after death. But for a devotee, that is taken care of. Unfortunately, we're seeing so much of this. Earlier this year, before His Holiness Bhakti Chur Swami left the world, or around that time, one of our God brothers dubbed the next 10 years as a decade of tears, because we'll see so many great Vaishnavas departing. It's just the age. I'm not predicting anything that's strange. It's the time of life, the age, where devotees will be departing, devotees who have rendered so much service to Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON over the years. And even those that haven't have a long history since the beginning of the movement, but have at one point or another rendered service, come into the society of devotees. It's actually, in one sense, it can be seen as sad and and decade of tears, as our godbrother put it. But on the other hand, it's very auspicious. So many devotees departing this world to continue the process of devotional service, actively serving with Srila Prabhupada in the next destination. It's actually good for the devotees as they depart. Sometimes the body breaks down and becomes useless for service. At that time, to get an opportunity to take birth again and serve Srila Prabhupada, it's actually quite glorious. So we should think of ourselves like this. We should make a plan. How I will continue service and how I'll be ready at the time of death to remember Krishna. Apparently, as described in the Shastras and by saintly persons, it's not such an easy thing to give up this body. Yes, the destination is there. Yes, the devotees are there to assist us in many different ways, chanting Hare Krishna. But who knows? What is that verse that describes the devotees praying that at the time of death, my throat will be choked up with mucus, and the fear is there that I may not be able to chant. Can you give the English translation?
Who? Krishna, may my mind be captured in your lotus feet today, so, because at the time of death, the throat will be choked up, but the pitta, what's that called, mucus vile, death. So, at that time,
yes, today. King Kulashekar?
Yes.
King Kulashekar prays. Our mind, what to speak of the mucus in the throat, our mind itself may be difficult to control at the time of death. So better when I'm hale and hearty to fix my consciousness on the Supreme Lord. And of course we know that's done by the daily practices that are given to us by Srila Prabhupada. If we do these daily practices, that guarantee has also been given, isn't it? For just doing the daily practices. But if you chant 16 rounds, follow four regular principles, is there a guarantee, Prabhupada says? A guarantee? Yes, in this life, in this very life. I would like to ask you to all, at some point during the day, to just take a few minutes to sit and think how fortunate we are to be able to have that opportunity. In our daily practice and daily activities, preaching activities, maintenance activities, sometimes we don't stop to grasp it, but we are actually given such a wonderful facility to know about Krishna, to know about the spiritual world. Actually, I was just reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was making reference to the Chatur Shloki as being the essence of the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Chatur Shloki, as described there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, basically they describe the transcendental world, the transcendental existence of the Supreme Personality of God beyond this material world and how we can attain it. And that is the goal the purpose of all Vedic literatures, with the Srimad Bhagavatam being the creme de la creme, to know that Supreme Lord who is beyond this material creation. When this material creation is wound up, he remains. Only he remains. So we have this wonderful opportunity to get knowledge of the Supreme Lord, existence beyond this material creation, and the path is open to us to go there, particularly getting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. The path is open for us to go there. We simply have to walk it. We simply have to walk it. But if we can't walk it, then somebody else can help us walk it. Our God brothers, our God sisters, they can help us walk that path. So let's not miss the opportunity to do that. Because we have a very, very kind Lord. I was also just reading recently, or hearing actually, a class given by one devotee. He was describing the standard of the character of the Supreme Lord. The standard of the character. Of course, we see that here with Krishna coming and sitting before Bhishma Dev. He made an effort to come and be there for his devotee. But the quality of the character of the Supreme Lord was being described in this class I was hearing recently. And it dealt with forgiveness, how the Lord is so forgiving. And basically this is the qualification for us to be able to go back to Godhead, that the Lord is forgiving, because otherwise we're sinful rascals. I'm a sinful rascal. But he was describing that Bhava Grahi Janardana. Krishna, his character is he takes the essence. And so if someone does something wrong, but they have a good intention, sometimes that means we do something wrong, but we have a good intention. Krishna is so kind that he discards the wrong act and just takes the intention. He disregards the act and takes the intention, the good intention. And similarly, if one does something right but has the bad intention, who's an example of that? Someone that does something right, but they have a bad intention. Putana, she's an example. But Krishna's so kind that in that situation, he'll disregard the intention and he'll take the good act. So he's got you covered both ways. If you have a bad intention, but you do an act that's good, he'll just take the good act. You have a good intention but do something bad, he'll take just the good action. But there's more than just that. If you do something bad and have a bad intention, what will happen in that case? What's the character, the extent of the character of our Lord in that case? You do something bad and your intention's bad too. You'll get corrected, but Krishna will forgive you if you just ask him. If you ask for forgiveness, Krishna will still give you it. But there's one instance in which Krishna won't forgive. Does anybody know what that instance may be? There's a rather famous incident described in Srimad Bhagavatam, yes.
If you have devotees, like Amrish Maharaj,
Yes, exactly. That's the example. Dravasa Muni and Rishi Maharaj. Krishna won't forgive you if you harm his devotees. But if you go to the devotee himself or herself and beg for forgiveness, then Krishna will forgive you. That's the extent of his character. So we should try to understand who it is that we're dealing with, who it is we're trying to please, what is our goal, and see just how kind and forgiving the Supreme Lord is, inviting. If we just do any small little service, Krishna never forgets. Any little small service we do, Krishna never forgets. So we should do just a little service? Is that the purport? We should try to do as much as we can to engage our lives in that way. Anyway, so many of us are on the down curve anyway toward the end, so we might as, there's no more ability, facility, anything to like direct our lives towards sense gratification. It's finished. So materially, who would want to be in that situation? Materially speaking, the materialist is just morose, depressed, their life's finished. But for a devotee, he sees the symptoms differently. And again, getting back to the first canto of the Bhagavatam, we see here, Bhishma Dev is taking advantage of the auspicious situation. He finishes instruction, and he's dramatically going to leave the world at his own will. Similarly, we see in other chapters when the Pandavas themselves retire timely, when Dhritarashtra leaves home, finally wakes up to his situation, that his situation, his attitude, which caused the whole war. But at the end, he also is saved. He wakes up and he leaves home. So wonderful. When you read these departure of all these devotees, because who cared for Dhritarashtra? Who delivered him? Vidura delivered him. After being such a rascal his whole life, still he had one good fortune, and that was the devotee of the Supreme Lord, Vidura. And so Vidura wouldn't give up until he delivered him. And Gandhari, she also, very dramatically, followed her husband. And in that way, as per Vedic culture, achieved the same destination. And the Pandavas themselves also, who fought a whole war just to save, to counteract the insult given to their wife, Draupadi. But at the end, they also renounced, they left. And as they were moving to the north, even when Draupadi fell, they did not give up their progressive march. Prabhupada calls it the pilgrim's project, pilgrim's progress. There's an English literature book, Pilgrim's Project. Pilgrim's Progress. Does anybody know that? Pilgrim's Progress, anyway. They also just continued on their march back to Godhead. even though they had waged a war and a world war to save the insult of Draupadi, when the time came, they were so fixed that they didn't care for her or each other, as each one fell separately as they moved toward the north. So there's a lot about passing away and departing this world given in this first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Maharaj Parikshit himself and him being cursed, which led to the Bhagavatam being spoken, is also described in this first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in a sense, why so much talk, discussion of death? It's not talk of death, it's talk of life. Because life is what they are achieving. Eternal life in the world beyond this world of birth and death. That's what's available to us. It's an exciting literature. We went through it once in the last 20 years. Hopefully we can make it through another time, 20 years. So there are some reflections or questions from this Chittagong?
I like that pastime on the pilgrim's progress when the Pandavas was going. When Draupadi fell, they asked Yudhishthira, why did Draupadi fall? He said, she was married to five of us, but she was favorite to Arjuna. Like that. She said, we all married her, but she was showing great affection for Arjuna. And even with the other ones that fell, like why Sahadeva, why Nakula, he thought he was the most intelligent man in this world. He thought he was the most beautiful, most handsome man in the world. That's Nakula, I think. Arjuna, why Arjuna fell? Oh, he promised to exterminate the Kauravas in one day, and he did not fulfill that. Why Bhima fell? He liked to eat. When he was eating, he does not consider the others. You know, very interesting way, really. And then eventually he would, you know, at the end, survive and wait for Indra.
Thank you.
You're talking about Krishna's nature of so forgiveness, and then you also mentioned about Vidura and how Dhritarashtra, how he was came there for Dhritarashtra, and I was never thought about that, but I was thinking that how you could see that Vidura as a devotee was also so forgiving. I mean, Dhritarashtra was such a whatever word we can use for him, you know. Such an idiot, I don't know. It's like you. But and so insulting in so many ways, you know. Duryodhana was the one, but still, Vidura, Dhritarashtra did not chastise Duryodhana and let Vidura go, and yet Vidura, his heart is so soft that even despite so many times telling Dhritarashtra and Dhritarashtra not listening, he still so forgiving in his heart to come back and still caring for him and still thinking about his brother and wanting to help him. I mean, you look at his heart and you think, wow, I mean, what a saintly soul Vidura was. especially the aspect of forgiveness, you know.
You know, that's the standard of a Vaishnava. And not just a Vaishnava of the level of Vidura, but even here, just like when Yamaraj was leaving, BTG Yamaraj was leaving, Radha Krishna Prabhu, he just dropped everything and served him to the end, isn't it? He had his life, his family, so many things. But devotees are ready to render that service, most intimate service at the time when we're leaving the body. We see it around us. So that's a standard of a Vaishnava. And we should actually be in awe of it. We take it as ordinary. But because we're basically, our hearts are steel framed and our eyes are closed. But the standard of Vaishnava is compassion. And we see it in the Shastra and amongst our own devotees. Anything else? Yes, Krishna Swarupa. Is this yours, Divyanga, if you're leaving?
Hare Krishna. Yeah, as you have mentioned, Bhishma has completed his instructions. Yeah, I was just looking at the shloka that says, Pravadatas means he was still going on. He was still going on. He would speak even quite many hours still. But then, Kala Pratyuparsita, the time just arrived. Like, you know, I was thinking this scene that you have so much to speak, you know, a class is going on, and you all of a sudden look at the time, oh, time is up, I have to stop here. That kind of scene. Bhishma could go on, but the Kala Pratyuparsita, the time has arrived, and he just had to stop. Yeah. And another question I had was, you know, Krishna was standing right in front of him. He wanted to just, you know, leave his body by looking at Krishna. But then why he has to wait until this time? When the time has arrived. Krishna was already there. As it, you know, the, what's called time. Time I am, that Krishna says. Time is him. Krishna was already there. And then while looking at Krishna, he wanted to leave the body. But he started looking, you know, giving lecture. Dharmam Prabhadata. So many different types of dharma he was talking. And then, why he had to wait that long? He could have already finished much earlier and look at Krishna and go, leave his body.
Well, there's the drama of the whole thing. Just try to imagine the scene where he's instructing, as you're describing so nicely. And the planets move into the right configuration. The sun is moving to the north, just entering. And it's an auspicious time. And why not stop there? Why not stop there? He could be just continuing on to this very day, instructing on Dharma. We all know how complicated the subject is. But, I don't know, just the drama of the whole scene of him leaving, choosing at that time, Krishna being there, the Pandavas being there, everyone feeling very dependent upon the instruction and eager to hear the instruction, then it just moves to a different realm. That's what captivates me about the scene. You have more to describe?
I guess Krishna himself standing there, because this whole thing was given for. this instruction is given to Yudhishthira, while Krishna and Vyasa and so many rishis try to talk to him, he would not listen. So Krishna himself speaking through Bhishma Pitamaha. So that's all. I guess Bhishma Pitamaha wanted to live earlier, much earlier. But then Krishna inspired him, and also when Krishna arrived in the area where Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows, as soon as Krishna saw him, his all pain is gone. So he was happily talking whatever Krishna wanted to speak to him, whatever Krishna wanted him to speak. So it was going on and on. But then when he looked at the time, oops, time's up, I had to go. So that looks like Krishna was inspiring to keep talking, and leave whenever you want, you know.
Mm.
So you want to leave by Uttarayana, fine, you can stop at that time.
What I find interesting in this whole situation is Krishna was leaving. When Kunti was saying the prayers, Krishna was sitting on the chariot, if I remember, ready to go back to Dwarka. But then when he went in the palace and all that, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj told him to stay. And so it didn't. So because of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj being down and. And then Krishna telling, okay, let's go and hear from Bhishma Dev. So it seems like as if, on one level, that Krishna wasn't going in that direction. Krishna was ready to go to Dwarka. And then all this thing happened. So I find that's pretty amazing. I mean, certainly everything happens because Krishna knows his desire. But it was Yudhishthira Maharaj who told him, please stay. And then he stayed. And then So everything's kind of turned around. That didn't seem like it was going to happen that way. He was going back to Dwarka. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's Krishna's.
Well, you're right, Leela. It's an opportunity to express love for each other. So, Krishna is on his way, but he got lovingly implored to stay, and then he got involved in the love with his disciple, with his devotee Bhishma Dev passing away, and doing that in such a way that the Pandavas were satisfied and got to express their love to Bhishma Dev as he was going. So. The Lord's Leela is full of all kinds of rasa. And maybe that's the only thing that makes sense, is the rasa. To understand it in that way. Anything else?
One quick point. It seems like they were going every day to visit Bhishma when they were listening to conversation. Like at the end of the day, they would go home and then return back the next day. That's how the conversation was taking place. And even when he was leaving for Dwarka, I don't think it was during that time he went to visit Bhishma. It was later on, because there's several occasions they would visit Bhishma, not just one occasion. Like every day until the conversation finished. And then they would leave him there. And then when he's about to leave his body, they all went back again. Because remember, he had to wait 58 days, 58 or 59 days, So that's how it went.
Okay. All right, we'll end there. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam.